because I was already creating videos that I knew video was the way to do it. Video is the way that people get to know, like, and trust you pretty quickly. Like, you can write an article and not really get a sense of who that person is, right? Like, I could read an article and I could go, oh, this is a great article, it's full of great information, but I don't really get connected to the person who wrote the words.
Sure. Right?
And it's the same thing with your resume. Think about it. You got all the skill set, you got this piece of paper, but you are so much more valuable than the words on your resume. Who's the person behind the text, right? Why are they bringing you in for an interview? Because they want to know the person behind the text. Otherwise, they would just look at your resume and go, oh, this person got everything I need. Let's hire them. Bring them in. Let's do it. They would just hire you based off of that piece of paper.
Right.
But they want to know the person behind the text, the human being. Are you going to fit in with the culture and all that?
Welcome to the Rockstars Rocking Podcast, powered by Voluntary Disruption, a show dedicated to people who are crushing their business and life goals. These are bite-sized conversations with leading rock stars in their respective industry who are pumped to share their story to help drive you to the next level. So, are you ready to rock? Speaking of rock stars, here's your host, Eric Silverman.
Hey, rock stars, welcome back to the Rockstars Rockin' Podcast. I'm Eric Silverman, and I am super fired up to be with the rock star of all rock stars, Mr. Trevor Houston. What's up, Trevor?
What's up? What's going on?
Man, I am so super fired up and grateful and thankful for you being on the show, my friend. For those that don't know Trevor, and I don't know how you wouldn't know Trevor at this point, he is exploding on social media, particularly on LinkedIn. Trevor is the host of the Who You Know Show, and we're going to get into that Who You Know Show deeply today. And we're also going to dig into a whole lot of other stuff that you may or may not actually know about Mr. Houston. So Trevor, talk to me about the Who You Know Show. I got to be honest, man, you're doing a lot of good out there. I can see you're helping job seekers find employment. You're giving tips for folks. It's perfectly, it makes perfect sense. It's relevant more than ever, particularly during the pandemic. But I'm confused. Is that your actual full-time gig? Can you talk about all the ins and outs of the Who You Know Show?
Yeah, that's so funny you asked me that. It's not my full-time gig. It's like my side hustle, I guess you could say. But no, it's really, it's a value add to the community. It's a ministry actually for me. We started this years ago when I was invited to a local church, and there was a job networking group there. And when I walked in, I really, you know, felt for these people. I mean, I walked in and it was kind of depressing, actually. You know, the energy was so low. And I'm like, you know, if you see my content or anything, I'm a really high energy kind of a guy. And it was a really low, kind of a depressing energy. And I just was like, whoa, you could just feel the energy suck right out of the room. And I felt for these people. I had empathy and walked in and I was like, okay, what's going on here? You know, and I was like a fly on the wall, just sit back, observe, try to figure out what's the disconnect, what's happening, what's going on. And people were networking. You know, 9 times out of 10, when somebody would get up and tell their success story about how they landed, they would get up and they would tell everybody, you know, it was through networking. It's not always what you know, it's who you know, right? And so, you know, things kind of progressed over time. We started figuring out what the challenges were, what these job seekers were going through. And I just was a fly on the wall. I would listen to their problems and figured out how to put together some solutions. And we started doing training and workshops and all kinds of things and events, career events. We gave out free professional headshots to the community. And then we started the show. And that was, we're in our fourth year now, episode 255, coming out tomorrow. And anyway, so yeah, just it, one thing kind of led to another, and the show started really just to bring the community together. It's about getting the recruiters, getting the hiring managers, and getting the job seekers in the same place at the same time. And when you do that, good things happen. So that's where it all started.
So you've been able to, I've been following you, and you've been able to give so many incredible tips to job seekers over the years. You just said you got, 255 launching tomorrow?
Yep, 255.
So you have 255 episodes full of tips and tricks and tools and ideas to help, and they've only exploded even more so over the last many months. I know I got to imagine, as an example, in 2018, you probably weren't talking as much about promoting a job seeker on video as you do now, because again, innovation changes, and as things occur, you have new ideas. So talk to us, give somebody a concrete way today in 2021, or if they're listening to this next year, how they can really explode themselves to get seen and become more visible with respect to finding a new career opportunity.
Yeah, so kind of two parts to what you said. So when I first started the Who You Know show, it wasn't very visible, right? And I knew that we had something, but we needed to take it a step further. We had the expertise, we had the information, the tips and the tricks, and all the value was there, but it wasn't really getting noticed. And that's the same for a job seeker. You've got the skill set, you've got, you know, your years on the job. You spent 15 years in corporate America at some, you know, at your last role. So you are the expert, but no one knows it. No one is seeing you. You are in the black hole. You are applying online and that is it. That's all you're getting, right? You're getting ghosted by employers and no one is noticing you, and you're not getting any callbacks. No one's picking up the phone and calling you, right? That was the same for us, right? So I knew I needed to take it a step further. And it was like, okay, we just need to shine some light on the expertise that we have. And so one of the strategies that you do is, you know, video marketing, or just any kind of marketing. It's about creating content, right? You need to create content consistently. And I mean, you need to show up every single day. I remember I saw Evan Carmichael, and I don't know if you know, if you're familiar with him, but he's a huge YouTuber with, like, you know, 5 million, you know, viewers or whatever on YouTube. Wow. And I remember, you know, hearing him speak at Video Marketing World. And he was like, I've made a video a day, every day for the past like 10 years. I'm like, wow. A video a day, every day for 10 years. I'm like, wow, that's super consistent and everything. And so I was like, all right, we need to do this. We need to create content. And I just knew, because I was already creating videos, that I knew video was the way to do it. Video is the way that people get to know, like, and trust you pretty quickly. Like, you can write an article and not really get a sense of who that person is, right? Like, I could read an article and I could go, oh, this is a great article, it's full of great information, but I don't really get connected to the person who wrote the words.
Sure. Right?
And it's the same thing with your resume. Think about it. You got all the skill set, you got this piece of paper, but you are so much more valuable than the words on your resume. Who's the person behind the text, right? Why are they bringing you in for an interview? Because they want to know the person behind the text. Otherwise, they would just look at your resume and go, oh, this person got everything I need. Let's hire them. Bring them in. Let's do it. They would just hire you based off of that piece of paper.
Right.
But they want to know the person behind the text, the human being. Are you going to fit in with the culture and all that? So I guess where I'm going with this, I know it's a long-winded answer, but creating content, getting out there, becoming visible. I did it with video. Video marketing is what helped catapult the Who You Know show. And it's helped me to push these job seekers forward, because I actually spent time, money, and resources to help market them. Right. I create job seeker commercials and videos, and we actually market them, and their visibility goes through the roof, which is so super cool. We just had one land the other day, and it only took a week, and I was like, yes, boom. So there you go, marketing.
That's awesome. Well, you know, I feel like years ago, I mean, the resume was just the entry point to get the interview, and the interview would be in person. So that's your in-person way to, quote unquote, sell yourself, right, to that company, to that recruiter, to that HR person, that business owner, whomever you're interviewing with. But these days, and COVID or not, forget that. That's irrelevant. These days, people are busier than ever, and we have technology at our fingertips. You don't have to go to an in-person interview. You could be doing Zoom interviews regardless of pandemic. And the fact is, the video, as you just said, is putting themselves at the top of the pile before they ever even, before the person ever thinks to call them in for an interview or to set 100%. Up a Zoom interview. So I love that. So let's keep that momentum going, talking about video. You exploded in the social media, LinkedIn scene specific, with respect to video marketing. So I believe, and you tell me if I'm wrong, I believe you were pretty, and if I'm wrong, tell me, but I feel like you were pretty stagnant on your engagement on your social media, and then you experienced video, you put together content, and all of a sudden, your trajectory with respect to being known skyrocketed. Am I wrong or am I right?
No, you're right. I mean, on one side, I actually was creating videos. I would drive around. Videos, it's actually funny. Video is how I overcame my fear of public speaking. I have a terrifying, crippling, shaking, like want to run for the hills. Literally, I used to hide in the bathroom. Okay. I'm not kidding. Like terrifying, crippling fear of public speaking.
Used to. Not now.
No, not anymore.
Okay.
I mean, there are positions in life where I get put to a higher level and then all of a sudden I'm on a big stage or something like that. And it still gets in there, but I use it as fuel now. Now it's like, ooh, this is adrenaline. This is like, yes, let's go. I know, I recognize, and I flip that fear into opportunity. And so, but video was what helped me do that. Video, I was driving around in my car and making these videos, right? I'm in my comfort zone, right? I'm in my car, right? And I would encourage people to do that. Now, some people thought I was crazy because they were like, why are you making a video while you're driving, right? And I'm like, watch my eyes. I'm not watching the camera. Right. I don't look at the camera. I'm watching the road. I'm just driving around. Like, you ever talk to yourself in your car? I do. I talk to myself all the time.
I mean, it's no different than talking to somebody on the phone on Bluetooth while you're driving.
Right, exactly. So anyway, I was making these little daily videos and I was putting them out there, but they still weren't getting any traction. You know, they would end up being like 5 minute long videos, probably good for YouTube. Not so great for social media. And that's a different story. YouTube and social media are different. YouTube is a search engine. It's not a social media channel. Now they're starting to get there. Now they're doing their shorts. But anyway, you need the micro content. You need those short bits of, nuggets, that gold that people can digest quickly and grab their attention. And so I knew I needed that. I knew I needed editing. I needed a lot better than I was doing. And so I went to see the expert, right? There's this girl out there on LinkedIn. She's crushing it. She's the LinkedIn queen. And Shay Rowbottom, shout out to Shay Rowbottom. I went to go see her because we already had a lot of things going. The show was already going. I knew, like, man, if I could just get this micro content stuff going and have daily videos going out, and I don't have to spend the time editing and doing all this stuff, then we'd be good to go. And I went to her video marketing bootcamp 6 weeks later. Like, let's go. It was a machine. She created a machine. Now I've got, I got more content than I know what to do with. Literally, you talk about video a day. I got more than that. I could do 2 videos a day, brand new content. Every video is brand new. It's not, none of it is old. None of it's recycled. It's like I could do 2 new videos every single day and have a library of content behind me. Like this interview we're doing right now, you could chop up and have like probably 20 pieces of solid nuggets in here.
Oh, easy.
You know? So yeah, I went to go see Shay Rowbottom. That's how that happened. Shout out to her because her program works. It just does. If anybody's on the fence, go do her program because it'll turn you on fire for sure.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you're helping job seekers. You said that's your side hustle, right? You're doing video yourself. You're creating tons of content. I see your content. And you're posting it mostly, as I see, on LinkedIn. But what I've also noticed is you have been transitioning, like a lot of us. I've been doing a lot as well. Certainly not to your level yet, But you've been moving folks over to Clubhouse. Those who don't know about Clubhouse, Clubhouse is still, at the moment we're recording this, is a very new audio-only social media program. It's for Apple users only, Apple iPhone or iPad, I believe iPad. Yep, and iPad. No Android allowed. Sorry, Samsung fans. my assistant will not be happy. They're working on it, but it's not yet. And also, it's even more exclusive. You have to have an invite. So anybody, you can research in Google Clubhouse if you're not sure about it. But tell us about what you're doing over on Clubhouse and how that's really helping with the LinkedIn growth strategy that you've put together.
Oh, my goodness. Clubhouse. Like, okay, LinkedIn needs to, real quickly, they need to go acquire Clubhouse because Clubhouse is right. Networking on steroids. It expedites oh my gosh, I can't even tell you. So, you know, for those of you that aren't on Clubhouse, it is, you know, audio only, like you said, but imagine being able to walk down a hallway. Okay. You walk down a hallway and you look in the window of a door. And you look in and you see a bunch of, like, you know, you see Oprah Winfrey and you see, you know, Mark Cuban and you right. see Damon John, like you see the Shark Tank in there and you're like, what's going on in there? And guess what? You have access. You can walk in the door. You walk in. And then not only that, but there are opportunities in that room when you get to sit down and listen where they're like, hey, why don't you come up here on stage and you could ask Mark Cuban and ask the Sharks a question, right? You'd be like, whoa, it's so, so cool. Like, unlike anything I've ever seen. And I've landed for our show. I've landed some high profile guests just from going in there. People that would have took me years of trying to get in touch and reach out and network and network and network to try to get to these type of folks. To build value enough to the point where they would finally say yes, right? The first day in Clubhouse, my first day, I got Grant Cardone. I'm like, I've been trying to get him for years. The very first day, boom, Grant, come on the show. We just had Heather Monahan on the show. I'm about to have Autumn Calabrese come on the show. Just some bigger names. And Damon John was just in the Breakfast with Champions. And I'm like, it's just so cool to see that you get access, you get a seat at the table with these folks. And if you are able to get out of your comfort zone, get up there, add value, be a contributing member of this thing, then people are going to invite you into their rooms. It's so cool because they want their room to be successful. So they're like, oh, I've seen Trevor over here. He was doing good over here. So let me bring him. So they invite you in the room and then they invite you up to speak. And now you're part of the conversation. You're in there with these people who are doing major things. And it's just so cool. Like, I've never seen anything like it. And I think about freedom of assembly, freedom of assembly, the rights that we have as a country in America, freedom of assembly. Like, there are countries that you ain't gonna have that.
They're already banning it. I've seen it. I've read about it.
Yeah, like North Korea. Mm-hmm. Sorry, brother, you ain't gonna have that app. Like,
no Clubhouse.
No Clubhouse, because that's freedom of assembly. Because there are some rooms. I will say there are some rooms I popped into, and they're extremely negative. Mm-hmm. Right.
Me too. I've seen that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's a lot of, you know, I don't know where it's gonna go. I have no idea. Because I think about it sometimes, I'm like, well, what if somebody wanted to do evil with this thing? What could they do? I mean, yeah, you collectively can instantly get thousands of people together and start a movement for whatever kind of craziness right. that you're thinking, right? And so I'm like, okay, this could also go sideways. And what kind of monitoring, right, about the conversations that are happening? What if there were, like, I don't mean to get, you know, conspiracy, but what if there were, like, terrorist groups or something? You never know, right? You just think of people being able to instantly
it's a new platform, so they're working out the kinks and the bugs.
Yeah,
you know, I gotta say, I respect the rollout. You know, I think it's very clever the way they're rolling it out. Even today, just with Apple folks, I'm sure you've seen it, there's still bugs, there's still glitches sometimes. Yep. I'm on the app and I'm like, something's not working right, I'll get a red error message or whatever. Yep. So I think they're very they're very smart about their rollout. And I agree. I think it's an incredible way to take the conversation offline without having to pester somebody in the LinkedIn DM and say, hey, do you want to set up a Zoom? Hey, do you want to hop on a call? You don't right. have to do that, because by definition, I've noticed you just naturally see these folks in the room and you're like, wait, I know that person. Let me see if I can get on stage and start creating a conversation. And I too have already started extending relationships the same way and building relationships, as you already said. So I think it's incredible. So tell us about the two big rooms that you have every week on Clubhouse that people should check out.
So I was invited by Glenn Lundy to join Breakfast with Champions. Now, Breakfast with Champions is every day of the week, right? They've got weekdays, Monday through Friday. It's 5 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Like a morning drive time radio show back from the 90s.
It's insane. It is so cool. I mean, and so I got invited to be a moderator of that room. Glenn Lundy, like, okay, so let me just paint that picture real quick. Glenn Lundy's awesome. He came on my show and we've just hit it off like instantly. I feel like, you know, I'm his little brother and all that. He's just a super cool dude. And so one day he calls me up. I get a call from Glenn Lundy and I pick that phone up and he's like, hey, you need to come, you know, do this Clubhouse thing, this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, Clubhouse, what is that? He's like, you don't know? And I'm like, dude, no, I don't. What is that? And he's like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're doing this room. We're calling it Breakfast with Champions. And I'm like, he hadn't even started it yet. Like, he hadn't done it yet. He was just like, and we're doing it tomorrow. And he's like, I'm going to need you every day. Like every day for like 2 or 3 hours in the morning, super early. And I'm like, you ever had somebody reach out and you're like, oh man, this is gonna suck, because the commitment, right? It was such a big commitment. It was like, let me give this dude 3 hours super early. Let me give him the 5 a.m. slot. I'm like, wow,
15 hours a week.
Yes, like a lot of time commitment. And I'm like, but I could just hear his like excitement for it and his passion for it. And I just knew, I told him, I said, Glenn, let me tell you something. Like what you're saying, I don't even know what Clubhouse is. I have no idea. Like you're explaining it to me, I don't even know. But what you're telling me, I just know it's going to be successful. Like it's going to just crush it. I already know. You will make it happen. I have faith in you. I don't know about Clubhouse, but I got faith in you. And I'm like, let's go. Let's just do it. I just said yes. And man, what a cool experience it's been. Like that first day, and since then, every single day, I mean, we're getting thousands of people in this room every morning, major impact. It's all positivity. It's about motivation, education, inspiration. We're there to lift people up. We're there to help them grow, you know, and man, it's just been, it's 10x'd literally the networking, and it's been just a blessing. And so I decided to start my own room. And calling it Lunch with Champions. And I actually run it through his club. So he has a club, Breakfast with Champions. And we run Lunch with Champions Wednesdays, 12:30 to 3 p.m. Central. So tomorrow I'll be running that room. And it's a very similar feel. We've got a bunch of same people, Amelia Antonetti. We got C-Rock. We got David Meltzer, Shay Rowbottom, right? Shay Rowbottom will be in there. So we got a big group of folks that are there. And our goal is to lift people up. And, but I'm putting a little spin on this room. I'm putting a little spin because it's about champions, and champions compete, you know, it's all about competition. I know I got some competitive people in the room, so we're doing a tournament. Okay. We're doing a tournament and we're competing for the green bean. Okay. And for those of you that don't know what the green bean is, go to Clubhouse. You'll figure out what the green bean is. So we're competing for the green bean and a lunchbox. And we're actually getting audience participation, and we're basically turning it into like a game show.
Okay.
And there'll be points and lots of fun stuff. So we have the education, inspiration, motivation, but we also have fun too. So come join us over there for Lunch with Champions.
That's awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Well, Lunch with Champions is every Wednesday, and Breakfast with Champions is every weekday.
Every day.
There you go. Very good. Very good. So I gotta ask you, man, you said it's your side hustle, the Who You Know show, the Clubhouse, the social media, the video, the content, everything is this machine. Trevor Houston's name is blowing up, but how you paying your bills, brother?
Yeah, man, I got this quarter office and stuff, man. It's nice over here. I'm just saying, things are good. Like, money's good. All right. You know, people ask me that. They're like, how are you? What are you? You know, they're confused by the business. And I was talking with you earlier about this. I'm like, you know, that's actually a problem I have. I have an issue. It's a branding issue. Like, a lot of people from the outside might go, man, your branding is awesome. You got, man, you're just all over the place. Whoa. Actually, I have a branding issue. It's a big problem. My side hustle, I'm known more for my side hustle than my main hustle. Okay. I'm in financial services and I own a business there. And in financial services, you know, we're so highly regulated and compliance, and, you know, we are just kind of handcuffed as to what we can do and say. You can't just really speak freely. Everything has to be, you know, polished and edited and scripted, and it has to be, you know, run through a chain of command if you're going to put it out there, and, you know, compliance and all that. So, yeah,
that's lawyers and compliance departments are widely known as having a great sense of humor and being off the cuff, and they just love unscripted videos and right. Is that right?
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. Yeah, they just don't. And it's like, I don't understand. I mean, I get it. I understand there were some people in the industry, you know, the Bernie Madoffs and the, you know, Wolves of Wall Street, you know, sure. Shame on Jordan Belfort, right? Shame on him. If I ever, I'm going to network to him, by the way, I'm going to get to him and I'm going to let him know. I'm going to say, bro, you messed it up for
what's
everybody.
What's that saying? One bad apple spoils the bunch.
Yeah, man. You know, great movie, but man, you messed it up for all of us on the other side. We're just trying to help and serve people, but you know, but yeah, I mean, there's some bad people out there with Ponzi schemes and doing this, that, and the other that, you know, are taking advantage of people, and they made our industry extremely tight. And so all the regulation, all the red tape that you can think of, the healthcare industry is the same way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very, very tight. So, I have an issue there because it's not a balance. When people see me online, they don't go, oh, cool, this is what you do. I get it. No, it's like this. And so they don't get this. They only see this. And so I understand the challenge. I understand the problem. And what I have to do is, it's not that I can't speak online. It's just, there's a bunch of hoops I got to jump through to do it. So I'm going to bite the bullet. Quit making excuses. And I've been working really, really, really hard to put together processes to jump through all the hoops they want me to jump through. And there's a bunch, but it's okay. I'm going to do it. And so I'm going to create, you know, a content library. I'm going to have a library of content that will come out. And that way I don't have to like consistently create all the time. It's just, I'll have a library, a stockpile of this stuff, and it'll go out and it will blend in with the rest of the content to, you know, bring awareness to what actually pays the bills and how I, you know, I still serve job seekers, even in my financial services world. That's actually my primary market that I serve. So it's just about bringing awareness. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Well, I literally never knew you were in the financial services and the insurance world and so forth. I'm in the insurance world, not in the financial services world, but I get that too. I admit I too have a branding challenge where I am, it's a struggle. It's a balancing act. Now in my situation, it's completely self-caused. I don't have a compliance challenge. I just didn't do it properly and I have to start it. In your case, I don't envy that process because it is a nightmare. I remember I have a good friend in Chicago who years and years ago asked me to write her a recommendation on LinkedIn. You know what I'm talking about. And I wrote it. And then I talked to her every now and then, but 5-6 years later, she sends me a random email and says, hey, I need you to remove the recommendation. I can't do it on my own. I don't know how to do it. And I said, long story short, her finance department or finance, her compliance department got wind of it and it wasn't approved and it had to be gone or she was going to get in big trouble. And dude, my recommendation of her was something like, she's a good person. And, you know, I've never worked with her for financial, but I think you should give her a shot. Like, it was something super dry and basic. They didn't like that.
That's so funny, because I dealt with the same issue with my recommendations, and I have a bunch, but there's a whole bunch I've had to actually hide. You can go and you can hide them.
You didn't know you could hide them.
Yeah. And so there's a whole bunch that, you know, our compliance team made me hide. And I'm like, ugh. And it's because when those two worlds, the who you know and my financial services world, start to do this.
Right. They collide.
That's when they do that. That's when they're like, we don't like that. Take it off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. All right. Let's just talk about this for a second. I am one person. I am Trevor Houston. Like, that is who I am. Okay. They want me to wear two hats. They want me to take this one off, put that one on. Take this one off, put that one on. And I'm like, look, I'm actually working through compliance right now to put together what's called an OBA, outside business activity, but it's it's a hybrid a pilot. I'm putting together a pilot with my broker dealer, and I'm working with them, man. And I got all the lawyers and all that stuff involved, because I'm like, look, here's the deal. We're in 2021. You can't do this. You have to be like, you can't be hiding things. If you're trying to make me hide who I am, people can discover this, and then you look shady. Then you're not transparent. Then you're like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, you're causing probably a bigger issue than you realize by making me have to like, kind of like, you know, what am I talking about today? What are we going to have? What, you know? And I'm like, no, I need to be Trevor Houston that does financial services, that also does that, you know, and does this. I'm also, you know, there's other things that I do too. You know, you're going to try to make me hide that, or make me not, you know, like, I go to church, I serve there. Are you going to make me say that I can't do that? You know, like, I can't talk about that, or like, you know what I'm saying? It's just, it's just, anyways, we live in a world where you can't silence people. I feel that's just the way.
Well, more now than ever, man. I mean, I'm not saying it's ever been right, but years ago, it would have been easier to have that done. There was no social media, but moving forward from this point on, and it's been this way for a while, transparency is the key. Authenticity. I mean, these are buzzwords and they're a little bit overused, but the reality is they're fact, they're true. And people need it, they want it, they yearn for it. Yep. Let me ask you a question as we start to wind down. And we're going to move it back towards social media. Like I said earlier, you've been blowing up on social media, but dude, you're the only guy I know who continuously, every time I want to look for your profile to shoot you a message or something, you're not even on LinkedIn, because LinkedIn shut you down. Like, you've been in LinkedIn jail 637 times in the last year. I may be exaggerating a little bit, but it is odd. Like, what's going on there, man?
Well, you know, I like to, you know, walk that line, right? You know, I like to walk the line and just kind of figure out what, and push the envelope a little bit. And, I was so grateful to get one of these by one of my audience, you know, get out of jail free card, and get out of LinkedIn jail free card, right? And, but no, seriously, so what happened the first time I got put in jail? the first time I got put in LinkedIn jail, it's because of this. So LinkedIn has a feature that everybody wants. It's sought after because it helps you grow really, really fast. And that feature is the follow button on your content, right? Now, people know about the follow button on your profile. Okay. People know about that. You can switch from connect to follow, right?
Right.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the follow button on each and every piece of your content. So
the
as
top right corner of the post.
Yep. Yep. So as it's in the newsfeed, you're scrolling, people can easily just follow you. If they like what they see or hear, they can go ahead and follow you. So LinkedIn forever and ever has had a rule on that feature. You had to have at least 30,000 connections first. Okay. So first 30,000 connections, and then you switch your primary over and they give you the follow button on your content. Well, I didn't agree with that rule. I thought that rule made people go out and inauthentically just connect, trying to build their network to 30 so that they could then get that perk, right? It was actually incentivizing bad behavior. So I actually sent out a petition to LinkedIn. I sent out a petition and I got about, I think it was about 30 content creators to do it with me. We all sent in tickets and we said, we don't agree with this. And so I put all those case numbers together, sent it to LinkedIn. Well, you know how they do sometimes. They kind of ghost you or whatever. So I didn't hear anything back. So I'm going on about my business. I'm trying to get that follow button. So guess what? Anybody that liked my content, so if they liked my video or left a comment, if they were a second or third connection, I would send them a connection request. I'd say, hey, thanks for liking my content. Let's connect. Something simple like that. Like, hey, thanks for liking my video. Appreciate it. Let's connect. So my assistant was doing that and sending out these connection requests. And that's why I got shut down. That's why I got put in LinkedIn jail, because enough of those people said decline, like they declined the invitation.
I don't know this person, right?
And then they said, I don't know this person.
Right.
So that put me in LinkedIn jail. I had to go through a verification process, had to get my driver's license, send that in.
Oh my gosh.
You do get one phone call. You get one phone call. And so I, you know, was
post bail.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first they're basically like, hey, they send you a generic, super generic, like you really don't have any clue why, right? They send you this super generic, like, hey, you violated one of these million things. And you're like, well, what was it? What did I do? You know? And they're like, you can either agree, and we'll get your thing back, or you can go through a process of the phone call. So I went the phone call route. A lot of people probably would have just agreed. I said, well, let's do both. I was like, agree and phone call, please. I want my phone call. I want to know what I'm agreeing to. I don't know what I did, because this laundry list of like a million things on here. Right. Anyway. So I finally got that phone call, had the conversation, and she said, yep, that's the reason why enough people said they don't know you. So I said, well, yeah, totally. I put in a petition about that, you know, like 6 months ago, and never heard anything back. Like, yeah, we're trying to get this follow button. You are incentivizing bad behavior. So yeah, shame on me. I sent connection requests, but those people already engaged on my content first. So like, I don't know, they engaged first. So I engaged back. Like, anyway. And she goes, all right, well, let me look into this. She looks into it. She goes, oh, okay, you're right. And a couple things happened. Number one, she apologized. She said, you know what? We apologize. We didn't get back to you. We agree. You know what we're going to do? Here's what we're going to do. Here's how you get that follow button. And then they changed it across the entire platform.
Wow.
So you don't have to have 30,000 connections anymore. You can have 5 connections and switch your primary to follow, and that will get that on your content as well. So now, because I went to jail,
you took one for the team.
I did. LinkedIn has changed. Everyone can have that, which is super cool. So that's there awesome. You go. You're welcome.
That's awesome. Well, look, that's a mic drop moment. I never knew that. I knew you went to LinkedIn jail. I didn't know the story behind it. And you might have posted about it, but my God, said it earlier, you post 5,000 pieces of content a week. I try to keep up, man, but you're a machine. So thanks, Shay, for that as well, for creating that machine or helping to create that machine. Well, listen, let's go ahead and wrap up. Appreciate your time. I know, obviously, you're super social. People can find you on LinkedIn. It's not hard to find Trevor as long as he's not in jail. hopefully, he's posted bail many times and you don't have to do that anymore. What's your website? Is there a website people can go to for the Who You Know show?
Yeah, they can go to whoyouknow.show. Whoyouknow.show. And okay. It's YA. So it's not who you know, it's who ya. Who you know.
Who you know.
Show. Whoyouknow.show. And come connect with me over there. And if you're searching for an employment, you know, we've got tons of resources there, all free to the community. Again, this is a ministry for us. We like to give back and just pour out love and support and encouragement and training and anything you can think of. We like to do that for our audience. So come connect with us over there, whoyouknow.show.
Okay, awesome. Well, listen, I appreciate it. If anybody has any questions, comments, thoughts, ideas for Trevor, if you want to connect with him directly, please do so. If you're seeing this on social media, please comment in the comment section below. We'd love to engage back and see what's on your mind. And until next time, this is the Rockstars Rockin' Show, and I just interviewed the rock star of all rock stars, at least for this week, Trevor Houston. I'm Eric Silverman, and appreciate you listening. Everybody, go make it a great day.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Rockstars Rocking Podcast. If you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you consume podcasts. And if you feel so inclined, please leave us a review. 5 stars would totally rock. Until next time, rockstars, keep rocking.